You're looking at me right now going, he's a fireman? I know. I will have you know, I go to the gym 3 times a week, and that's not the name of some taco stand in Muskegon, okay? What's the difference? What's the difference between somebody who's a rescuer and somebody who's a victim? And I was thinking about this just a second. When we look at Ephesians 6, is where we're going to be in the scriptures today. So if you have your Bibles and want to turn over there, you can. What's Paul doing there besides writing the Bible? What's his context? Does anyone know? He's in jail. He's chained to a Roman wall. What's really interesting is the passage we're going to look at this morning is Ephesians 6, and it finds the author chained to a Roman jail, and yet chained to a Roman wall. And as he's doing that, he's looking up, and he's using as an illustration a Roman centurion, a warrior. It's interesting that when he chooses an illustration to compare himself to spiritually, he's choosing that of a warrior, not that of as a victim. And folks, so our challenge this morning is, we need to make the transition from victim or bystander to a rescuer. And what's the difference between, what's the difference between a victim and a bystander and a rescuer? It rarely has anything to do with physical capabilities as much as it has to do with mental preparation and using the tools at hand. And so when Paul sees himself chained to a wall and thinking about the Christian life, he's not thinking of some victim strapped to a wall. He's thinking of that of a soldier. Now, how many of you were driving down the road today and came into church and you actually passed a soldier in full gear? You didn't, but some of you passed a fire station. So we don't have that. What we do have in our town is we have people who use gear and training to become rescuers and respond, and those are firefighters. Now, as we begin this morning, there is a set of guidelines that we operate off of called the NFPA, and the NFPA dictates that firefighters be able to don their gear in 90 seconds or less. So I've invited my good friend, Mr. Rob Molesky, to the stage. Let's give Rob a round of applause. This morning, here's what we're going to do. Rob and I were talking about this yesterday. We're going to pack out. That's called putting on your gear. And the NFPA gives us 90 seconds to do that, to go from street clothes to full pack in 90 seconds or less. And I asked Rob, when's the last time you've done this?
2 years ago.
For me, it was 2017. So Rob and I are going to race this morning to pack out. Okay? So this side of the room, your team Rob, all right? You need to cheer him on. Let's hear it. Come on, folks. Your team Rob. There you go. How many of y'all think that Rob can beat me in packing out? Yeah. All right, you folks over here, your team CJ, how many of you think that I can take Rob out in this challenge? Yeah, there we go. All right? So we're going to put 90 seconds on the clock, and we can kick off our shoes. We are allowed to do that. What's that? Fully clothed underneath. Yes, yeah. Every department has a guy. But I don't, it's not you, is it? No. I'm going to take this off, so, because I'll really mess it up.
Four, three, two, one.
here. Nice work. How you feeling? You a little winded?
Not bad.
Not bad? All right. Well, this morning, folks, we are looking at the armor of God. And as I was writing this message this week, this started as one sermon and ended up being a couple. And that usually is because I'm super excited about, I'm going to drop the pack, the material. And so what we're going to do is we're going to try and get through an awful lot of this armor of God this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Ephesians 6. I want to start off by doing this. Here's the thing. We're going to be looking at the gear that we're supposed to wear as believers as we make the transition from rescue or from victims to rescuers. And here's the point that I want to make as we start out, okay? I feel right now very secure. One of the advantages of the gear that we wear is it gives us confidence. When you're packed out, when you're wearing air, when you have everything on, you feel protected. In fact, almost a little too protected. I've showed you a couple videos of our training. This is my helmet from one of the departments I was on, and we were doing one of those rollover trainings, and I had my GoPro and I was filming. And as the fire rolled over and the smoke rolled over, the training officer said, "Everybody get down." And I thought, "No, I want to see how long I can stand." And so I was filming while everybody else was getting down because it was rolling over. And I'm like, "I feel fine. I'm comfortable. I'm not hot at all. This gear is really effective." And then I looked down at my GoPro. It was one of those plastic housings. And I lifted my finger off of it. And the plastic was sticking to my finger. And I went, "Oh no, my camera's melting." And you can see from my shield here, it actually burned the leather top of my helmet. This gear makes us feel really confident. Now, I want to read a passage of scripture as we start. We're going to start in verses maybe 11 through 14, okay? And here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at the confidence that comes out of this passage, okay? It says this: "Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand." Kneel? Cower? Hide? "Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers of darkness, against evil spiritual forces in heaven. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to fully resist in the evil day, having prepared everything to take your..." Next verse, "stand therefore." All this is given to us so that we can stand and be confident. Now, I don't know about you this morning. I don't know where life has taken you, but through all of our lives, the enemy is trying to take us out nonstop. And some of us face temptation, we face fear, we face doubt, we face discouragement, we face anxiety, we face all these things on a regular basis. And these are things that the enemy is trying to do to take us out, to weaken our confidence and make us worthless as we are trying to respond to the desperate, lost world. And so I don't know what brings you here this morning, and I don't know if you feel confident enough to stand. But as Paul is chained to a wall, he looks up and sees a Roman guard, and he says, "You know what? You know what we need to do to be confident? We need to be like this guy. We need to be prepared and ready to go. We need to have the gear. We need to put on this gear. Because that guy looks confident. And when I stand here before you and I'm wearing all this gear, I feel confident that I can go in." Now, so we're going to look at what some of this gear is this morning, and we're going to see how far we get. There are 7 pieces of armor that Ephesians 6 tells us we need to put on so that we can be confident as we become rescuers to a lost and dying world. We were not meant to be defeated. So the question I have for you this morning as we begin is, are you standing confident or are you cowering and defensive? If you need more confidence in fighting temptation, doubt, fear, or confusion this morning, it's time to gear up. Or as we say in the fire service, it's time to pack out. Okay? So as we begin in verse 14, it says, "Stand therefore with the truth like a belt around your waist." So a firefighter, there are a couple things that we wear that kind of act as a belt for us. All gear comes with both a belt and a pair of suspenders. Some turnout gear, by the way, we call it turnout gear because we leave it turned inside out to make it easier to get into. Notice that being able to gear up really quickly is super important, okay? The belt and suspenders that we wear, some departments have what is called a truck belt, which is a very heavy-duty belt with a big D-ring on it, so that when they're going up and down the ladder truck, they can lock in and not worry about falling, okay? In whatever case, the belt that Paul is referring to and the belt that we wear accomplishes a couple things. First of all, these suspenders are really good for holding the gear up, okay? Because I've got a lot of crap in my pockets. It's heavy, okay? I've got spanner wrenches. I've got webbing. I keep big, heavy gloves. And this keeps it up. Now, some of your passages may read truth like a belt so you can gird up. Gird up is an old term that soldiers would use because many of them wore a kilt, okay, a tunic that was open. It was long, and it had a piece that went over the shoulder. When Paul is saying belt of truth, what he's really referring to is taking the extra pieces of that garment, wrapping it around, and bringing it up to secure. That way you're not tripping on any part of your garment, okay? What he's saying is the truth, we need to wear it so it makes us tactical. Do you know what I mean by tactical? It means everything held together and ready to go so that you're able to act. The truth that Paul's referring to is meant to be something that keeps us tactical, ready for action. The verse that says to wear truth around our waist like a belt, the belt of truth is representative of the commitment that we make to learning and knowing the Word of God and the truth that it holds. I cannot state this enough. If you've gotten one thing out of the messages so far, it's this. We have to know God's Word. And we have to have it ready to go so that we can respond. I want you to think as we go through these, which one of these do you need most to become a rescuer in your culture? And I'm afraid that this one that we start with, I think there's a reason why Paul starts with this, because it's the one we need the most. We have to, folks, know the truth, amen? You have to know it, and not just know it. You have to know what the Word of God says so that you're tactical, so it's ready to go. When you face situations, you can always go, what does the Word say about this? What does the truth say about this? And here's the deal. The truth is the core of the nature of God. Our God is truth. If you don't know the Word, you don't know the Savior, okay? Because that is what his nature is. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the what? And the life. The truth leads to life, okay? And that's who Jesus is. Jesus is the truth. And I like the word, the Greek word, some of your Bibles, if you translate the Greek, it's the word logos. And it's not just the truth. It's like the culmination of truth. It's like all the truth that has ever held meaning in the world is what the word logos means. And that's what Jesus is. Jesus is the truth. Folks, if we're going to save a lost and dying generation, we need the truth, which is Jesus. This old world needs Jesus. Amen? And we've got to be ready to go with the truth and the hope of the gospel. To know the truth is to know Jesus. Here's an illustration. We've been having these elder care group meetups, and if you haven't been invited to one yet, you will be invited to one where you get to meet up with Becky and I, and we talk. And one of the questions that we are asking folks is, what do you love about RBC? We want to hear from you what you love about RBC. And almost universally, the answer to that question is that we're committed to the truth and the preaching of the gospel. And I thought about that. As I was thinking about that, every time I hear it, I go, shouldn't that really be what a church is? Like, why is that a niche for RBC? Because you know what the truth of the matter is? There's a lot of churches this morning that are not preaching the truth of Jesus. Okay? There's so many churches that are more like Sunday morning social hours. And folks, we are committed to the truth at RBC. Jesus is the truth. And we need to be committed to the Word of God so that we can know Him. So here's why you need truth in your life. If you don't have this piece of armor, this is the first thing you need. First of all, just like a belt, the truth of the Word of God holds everything in place, starting with our understanding of who Jesus is. A philosopher named Soren Kierkegaard says there are two ways to be fooled. One is to believe what is untrue, and the other is to refuse to believe what is true. I've also heard it said that if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. Folks, when we don't know the truth, we become easy victims. There is a lot of bad teaching in this world, and the truth of God's word is what keeps us tactical and in the fight, because it'd be very easy to be taken out. Secondly, we need truth like a belt of armor because truth keeps us tactical and lightweight. Knowing the word of God in our heart keeps us ready to respond with agility. Okay? Excuse me. How many of you, when you face a decision, sometimes you face what I call paralysis by analysis? Is anybody willing to admit that you can be really indecisive sometimes? Some of us have a very difficult time weighing through decisions because you have to have all the facts, right? And the Word of God is meant to be in our hearts so that we can respond with agility. So that when we face issues, when we face decisions, we have the Word of God comes to our mind right away. In fact, the Word says, I've hidden God's Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So the point is we need to have God's Word in our heart. And the reason, some things that help us be tactical is, one, we can share the truth quickly with those that need it. We can apply it quickly to any situation that we're involved in. We can avoid deception because we know what the truth is. We're not easily deceived. And finally, we need the truth so we can self-extricate. Self-extricate is a term that we use when we find ourselves trapped by something. Some of us find ourselves in situations where we go, I need to find a way out of this. Perhaps it's temptation. And the way that truth can help us self-extricate from temptation is when we find ourselves and the enemy is whispering deception in our lives, it's not, in our minds, it's not that bad. It would be really nice if, I wish I could be like that person. It's only one time. What you need is to be self-extricated. And that's when the truth comes in, gets in our mind, and we go, you know, but you know what God's word says about this? I can't do that. You understand, the truth, like a belt, keeps us tactical. Your first gear to don in the fight for deception, temptation, discouragement, everything is the truth. Okay? Commit to knowing God's word in a deep way. You need it to fight. And I'll share this. Right actions always follow right thinking. Okay? Right actions always follow right thinking. Folks, we need God's word in our heart to guide how we act, okay? The second thing that we need to put on is the body armor of righteousness. It says, righteousness like armor on your chest. The largest protective gear that a firefighter wears is turnout coat and pants, bunker coat and pants. The main purpose is to keep us from the dangers of flame and heat. Now, here's some advantages of this gear. First of all, this gear is made out of three layers, okay? This is two layers. One of them is the outer shell. It's abrasion and cut resistant, especially on the knees and elbows. It's usually made of a blend of Kevlar. There's actually Kevlar fiber in the exterior of this coat. It's the same stuff that they make body armor for cops out of, okay? So there's a blend of Kevlar in this coat, and it also is highly visible with reflective and has a lot of places for storage for tools, big pockets, a clip for hanging your flashlight, or a radio pocket over here, okay? Secondly, then it has an inside barrier, which is a moisture barrier, which prevents water and chemicals from breaching in. And thirdly, there's a thermal layer on the inside. If you could feel it, it feels plasticky in there. It's actually a layer of some sort of metal, okay? Like an aluminum metal. Are you familiar with a space blanket? You know what I'm talking about? One of those highly effective blankets that are made out of Mylar? Well, there's a fire-resistant version of that in here. So basically, I'm a baked potato right now, okay? It keeps the heat out. It's faced out so that radiant heat is reflected away. So one advantage of the bunker gear, the coat and the pants, is the way it's constructed. Secondly, it identifies who you are. So you'll notice my name is on the back of my bunker gear. So it tells people who I am. It identifies me. And thirdly, it's highly reflective. You can see it, especially in a smoky situation when you shine a light at it. Okay? Here's why that's illustrative of righteousness. Righteousness, or right living, is something that every believer is called to put on. When we become a believer in Jesus, we're actually handed righteousness to put on. Jesus says, put this on so that people know who you are. Romans 3:22 says, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. When you and I got saved, Jesus held out righteousness or right living like a garment for us to put on. Are you wearing righteousness? Here's why you need it. First of all, right living protects our hearts. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Righteousness, which is right standing with God or right living, protects a believer's heart from being corrupted by sin, deceit, and evil influences. By carefully living right, we are sidestepping sinful practices that destroy us. Hear me. Hear me in this. Especially young people. God is not some cosmic killjoy sent to give us a whole bunch of rules to ruin our good time. The right living and righteousness and acting accordingly and consistently with God's word was not just a way that God came along and said, here, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of rules just to make life bland or boring. Every single thing that God asks us to do in Scripture, whether it's a commandment or teaching or prophecy, is given to us to save us from the destructiveness of sin. When God says, don't do that thing, he's not trying to give us a bad day. He's trying to save us from the destructiveness of that. I heard it once said, the sin will always take you further than you wanted to go and cost you more than you wanted to pay. When we wear right living, we're protecting ourselves from the destructiveness of sin. When God says, don't do that thing, he's not trying to ruin your day. He's trying to save you from ruining your life. Take heed, okay? Secondly, right living tells everybody that we belong to Jesus. It's our identity. A uniform affords the wearer the recognition of who they are, where they can go, and what they can do with confidence. When we're serious about living right, it opens us up to receiving God's blessing because people think they're entitled to God's blessing just because of things like bad teaching. Like they go, oh, God wants me happy, so that means I can do what I want. No, when we're obedient, that brings about God's blessing. God's blessing in our life is a natural result of our obedience. I tell young couples this in marriage counseling, right? We get a lot of requests. I've done probably 40 weddings over the years. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about relationships. It has a lot to say about the marriage relationship. It has a lot to say about how we come together as a couple and the things that we do, particularly when it comes to intimacy. And I always tell couples this, why are you asking me, a pastor, to come and officiate your wedding. You could just go down to the justice of the peace. And they always say the same thing. We want God's blessing on our marriage. And I say this. God's blessing on your marriage will not come because some holy man shows up at your ceremony and says a magical prayer. God's blessing comes to our life when we know God's word and are obedient to it. Folks, God's blessing comes to our obedience. So do what God is asking you to do. Do the hard thing now. Don't take shortcuts. Because that's where we find God's blessing. Psalm 119:165 says this, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble." Great peace. When believers live in righteousness and according with God's word, they experience a deep sense of peace and well-being. And they find themselves in the center of God's will, enjoying his blessing. Right living tells everybody that you belong to Jesus and provides you with a blessing. And third, right living reflects the Savior to others. 1 Peter 1:15-16 says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" When we take holiness, we look like the Savior and we reflect him to our culture. Our righteousness, our holiness, acting right, gives our world a beacon that points back to our Savior. So we're told to put on righteousness to protect ourselves and declare who we belong to. This old world is on fire, and they need to see us reflecting the Savior in everything we do. Amen? Third is the third piece, he says, "with your feet sandaled with the readiness of the gospel of peace." A firefighter's footwear gives us the confidence to go into dangerous environments. Proper foot protection means we can go confidently where we need to go. Here's some of the advantages of the gear. First of all, it's fire resistant. Okay, we can go into hot situations, stuff that's burning, embers, burning situations. These boots will withstand, I believe it's 500 degrees for an hour. Okay. Second, they're oil and chemical resistant, which means that many fire scenes are hazmat operations, and we go into caustic situations, and our boots are not going to melt if we step into something caustic or corrosive. They're rated to withstand a highly acidic corrosion for also an hour. Third, what you can't see is there's a steel toe and a shank. Okay, not only is there a protective cap over our toes, there's a steel shank that goes all the way down the length of the boot, which in a January in Michigan makes them real pleasant. You want to wear your wool socks when you're putting these on because they get cold because there's so much metal in these boots. They're really heavy as well. That is to ensure that not only are they puncture proof because we're walking over a lot of really broken metal, nails in building construction, debris, things like that, but also I drop stuff. And sometimes we have heavy stuff or other people drop stuff, and it's really nice to know that my toes. In fact, I think the toes are rated somewhere between 2,500 and 6,000 pounds, depending on the boots, that you can drop and not crush your toes. Okay? They are tall enough to keep water out. Remember me telling you the story a couple weeks ago about the fire that went up the chimney? We put so much water, and that was such a cold January day on that fire that we put 8 inches of water in the basement, and I forget why I had to go down there, but the chief told me to go down in the basement. That's when I discovered that I actually had a puncture in the side of my boots. You found that out. I found that out real quick. they're tall enough to keep us dry while standing in water. My boots are actually right about there. Old-timey fire gear had boots that went up to your hips, and then you just had a really long coat. So that makes it so we can go into a lot of water. Fifthly, they don't conduct electricity. And Finally, increased stability and traction. The sole of these boots are designed for maximum traction on uneven surfaces, ladders, roofs. There's a lot of grit in the bottom of these boots to keep you stable on uneven surfaces. Now, here's why that's illustrative of the gospel. You and I are called by God to go confidently into the mess of people's lives. People's lives are messy, are they not? When you come close to somebody and you want to share the gospel with them, that becomes a messy situation sometimes. You and I try to bring hope into the life of people that's going to be messy and it's going to be awkward sometimes. The gospel of peace that the passage is referring to is a message of reconciliation. It offers salvation, forgiveness, and a restored relationship to the Creator. And because you and I have been made right with God, we need to go and rescue without becoming a victim ourselves. Okay? Matthew 28:19 says this, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Does that sound like Jesus is issuing us just a wish? It would be really nice. If you guys have some free time, maybe here's something you can do, just keep yourself busy. No, this is a command. Do you understand that if you call yourself a Christian, that means we're reflecting Christ, that we, when we say we're a Christian, that means we're doing things that we commit to doing things that Christ did and obeying what Christ says. And one thing that he tells us as believers is to go. We all have a call on our life to respond. Jesus says, go, therefore. And that means we need to be ready. So when we get toned out, we go, and we go quickly. And I'm afraid that you and I are very hesitant sometimes to respond to the mess of people's lives, to want to get involved in sharing the gospel with people. And when I say us, I mean me. I mean, the number of times, even at the fire station, I've been sitting around with a guy who's telling me about how rough things have been in his life and how his family maybe is suffering some things, and I just go, oh, gosh, I got to ride with this guy in an ambulance for the next 24 hours. Do I really want to make it weird by talking about Jesus? I mean, I struggle with that too. And, folks, we have to be ready and willing to go. And that means stepping into that mess and allowing it to be awkward. And we don't step in gingerly, afraid to offend. I would tell them about Jesus, but I just don't want to offend them. You know, I don't make it weird. We need to go confidently and to go, this person is lost. And I need to share the hope. Folks, how are you going? Here's why you need the gospel of peace. People need to be rescued. You and I are on a mission to rescue lost people from their spiritual lostness. Because we've found reconciliation with the Creator, we need to be ready to share that with other people. Secondly, people's lives are messy. Having on the boots of the gospel of peace also means that we're willing to walk through hard times with others. So maybe some of us need to put on our boots and go. Let's do one more. Then he goes on to say, the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So this one's a stretch. We don't carry any sort of a shield. But what we do have is a couple things. First of all, we have a high flame-resistant polycarbonate that protects our eyes. Now, I don't know if you're like me. If I'm sitting around a campfire and the wind shifts my direction, I'm just going to be a snotty, eyes-watering mess, right? Anyone else like that? Okay, just me. Cool. if I don't have fresh air and a shield to protect my eyes, I'm blind. I can't see anything. So we have a shield here, and then our helmets are built. Our helmets are built with a shield in them as well that just pops down. Now, the enemy would love for us to be blind and not see what's coming. And I was thinking about the way shields, like armor shields, like back in Paul's day, what he's referring to, and how those were designed. And shields that soldiers would carry, as technology advanced, they went from being just a circle or a standard shield shape to actually having cutouts so that you could see past them. And then I was gotten to thinking about modern soldiers and the riot shields they carry. They all have a window made out of ballistic glass so that they can keep their focus forward. So the ability to see in adverse conditions is absolutely necessary. To remain oriented is critical so that we don't get lost or trapped when we're trying to locate a victim. So the advantages of the shield or the face mask, first of all, it's ready when you need it. Secondly, it's able to withstand impact, and it maintains visibility. The passage says to take up the shield of faith so that we could withstand the enemy's attacks. To maintain my illustration, when we crawl below the smoke, our mask shield becomes crucial for keeping smoke, embers, and debris out of our eyes. Or as the scriptures say, to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. When we learn to trust God, our faith provides a valuable tool for staying grounded and allowing us to confidently progress into a deeper relationship with Him as we navigate a life filled with the enemy's attacks. Faith provides a foundation upon which Christians build their lives and understand some of the world's complexities. By nurturing and developing our faith, Christians deepen our understanding of God's character, His promises, and His unfailing love. Through prayer, meditation, and study of the scriptures, we reinforce our faith, ensuring that it remains steadfast when faced with doubts and uncertainties. So here's why we need a strong faith and carry it like a shield. First of all, to withstand impact. Some of the things that the enemy throws at us can be deflected by faith. Your faith can be an impenetrable barrier from the enemy's attacks. His main flaming dart is deception. Remember we said at the beginning of this that all war is deception. And in spiritual warfare, the enemy's flaming dart is deception. That's where having a strong faith comes in and protects us like a shield. When the enemy attacks us, our faith is our best defense. It helps us fight fear, the impact of fear. A strong faith reminds us that scary things in life are no big deal to a big, strong God. It reminds us that it protects us from doubt. We know that the enemy would love for us to believe that there's no God, or at least he's not that good. Because we have a deep relationship with him, we know that to be a lie. Thirdly, it protects us from the impact of spiritual attack. When we feel attacked by the enemy, a strong faith reminds us that in our suffering, God has a great plan even for that. So it helps us to withstand impact. And secondly, it helps us to maintain visibility. With my face shield, it doesn't even faze me that I'm walking through intense heat and smoke. Imagine going through life with such a strong faith in God that the enemy's attacks, temptation, deception, discouragement, bounce right off of us because we have such a strong, vital faith in our Creator. Imagine being able to walk through life fireproof from the enemy's attacks because of our confidence in who God is. The shield of faith is an indispensable component of the Christian's armor, offering strength, protection, and assurance in the midst of life's challenges. Through faith, Christians deepen their belief and trust in God, enabling us to navigate doubt, fear, and spiritual warfare. It empowers us as believers to overcome adversity, discern truth from deception, and stand firm in our convictions. Finally, faith serves as a source of hope and encouragement, reminding us of God's unwavering love and promise of a victorious future. Folks, I'm going to ask you as we close one more time. As you go through life, are you standing confident? Do you feel secure? Are you able to respond? Are you carrying out Jesus' command to go with the gospel? Are you this morning a rescuer, or are you a victim? If you're feeling like you're a little bit more of the latter, may I encourage you to pick just one of these this morning that we talked about. Maybe you need to go, I need to spend some time in God's word, knowing the truth. I need to commit myself to scripture memory so that I'm ready to respond and I don't have to wonder what God says about something. Or secondly, maybe it'd be better if you even just found some really good resources at your fingertips so that when you encounter different situations, you can go find out what God's word says about it. Maybe this morning you just need to commit to every situation when you're encountering something to go, I'm going to go find out what God says about this. So first of all, maybe the thing you need to put on is truth like a belt so that you can be more tactical and agile. Maybe this morning you need to wear righteousness. You need to realize, look, I know the truth, but I'm not living right. People see me in school or work or in the community or whatever. They're not seeing that I'm wearing the identification of Jesus Christ. I'm not wearing my faith like a chest plate, like a breastplate, like a sheet, like armor. I'm not identifying to the world who I am. Maybe you need to realize I need to change some things about the way that I'm living so that I can put on righteousness that Jesus wants for me. Maybe thirdly, you need to realize that God has called you to go. And that means you need to start taking the step of committing this morning that I am willing to step into messy situations. I'm willing to go. I am willing to respond. And that thing that you need is the gospel. You need to commit yourself to sharing the gospel more because people are lost and dying. Or finally, maybe you need to realize you need to work on your faith. You need to spend time with the Savior and developing your relationship with Him. Maybe you need to spend some time reading your copy of God's Word and praying so that your faith is so deep and your confidence and trust in God is so strong that when the enemy attacks you, you don't have to worry about being taken captive by it. Heavenly Father, thank you that you did not intend for us to live weak, defenseless lives. The Father, that you intended for us to walk confidently, to stand. That when facing the enemy and his attacks on us, the fear, the doubt, the uncertainty, the temptation, the anxiety, that God, you chose for us to stand confidently, to not cower in a corner, but to kick the door in and go confidently into our life. Father, may we today be rescuers, not victims, not standing on the side of the road rubbernecking, trying to figure out what's going on. But God, that we would show up to life confident and ready to respond. Father, when we see somebody who needs the gospel, ready to go, when the enemy attacks us, Father, we are bulletproof because we have our deep faith in you. Father, when the enemy comes to us with temptation, we deflect it because we're shielded by truth. God, may we not be defenseless, but may we put on the armor of God. Thank you, Father, for giving it to us. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Thanks for being here, folks. You're dismissed.